to live right in the middle of all of the problems, the trials, and the difficulties. We allow ourselves to live there. But there's four keys to a victorious Christian life. And Pastor talked about me. I'm going to teach on the Holy Ghost, and I am. But this here is just the this here's the beginning of the whole series. I really felt compelled. I was telling him Monday night not to just jump in to a series about pneumatology or about the Holy Ghost, but to lay a foundation so that people understand that there's a process that we need to adhere to in our Christian experience. There's a process in our Christian experience to obtaining victory. And that process is allowing God to have His way in our life. But to allow God to have His way in our life, we have to throw wide the doors of our life. We have to clean out our life of everything. 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 Not just the bad things. We've got to give up everything. Holding on to whatever it is that we hold on to. We've got to let go of it. Well, what are you talking about, Brother Kevin? Whatever it is in your life that you just can't let go of, and you're keeping it in place of God. You know what it was for me? It was my career. I wanted to be the best of the best of the best, and I wasn't going to be happy until I found that. And you know what I realized? I couldn't be the best without God. I couldn't be my best without God. And when I let go of my career aspirations, my career just took off. To a point now where I have to say no more. I'm full. I can't do it because God has blessed in that manner. It doesn't have to be sin in your life that keeps you from God. It can be those little things. Look at these athletes. I have a friend. He grew up, went to Bible school with him. He grew up playing basketball. His mind, big tall fella. If I told you his name, you'd know exactly who I was talking about. Big tall fella. He played basketball with a passion. And he went, and his whole goal in life was to be a professional basketball player. He got saved, and the Lord put a call on his life. And he struggled with letting go of that aspiration of professional basketball and fulfill the call of God in his life. And I was talking to him. It's been a couple years now. And he said, Kevin, I'm so glad that I let go. I let go. Young people, we just got to let go. And let God have His way in our life. I love God tonight. I'm so glad for the opportunity to speak here this evening. And I just pray that God will do something great for us. He's a mighty God. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Did everybody get a lesson? Anybody? Well, let's do it this way. Did anybody not get a lesson? Okay, back here. Leah, a little, couple of them. Everybody? Okay, good deal. Well, in the lesson tonight, we're all working to have a good, successful Christian experience while here on earth. If we were not interested in this, we would not come to church or pray or read our Bibles. Unfortunately, many of us have areas of our life that's a constant battleground for us, and we find ourselves falling for a trick of the devil or slipping back into the rut that we were in. Today and over the next few weeks, I want to discuss the ability that God has given us to overcome this area in our life and to live a successful, a victorious Christian life. It's there for our taking. We can have a victorious Christian experience. God wants us to have a victorious Christian experience. God wants us to live in such a manner that our life itself is an example of how great He is. We don't have to speak a word. We don't have to utter a testimony. But we can live in such a manner that people walk up to us and say, I want what you got. Because what you got is success. What you got is victory. What you have in your life is what I've been looking for. And we can live that way. Church, we need the Holy Ghost in our life. We need the Holy Ghost at work in our life in such a way that He can minister to people without us ever having to say a word. He can do that. He does it. Have you ever had an individual walk up to you and say, "Where do you go to church?" Never met them before in your life. Where do you go to church? How do they know you go to church anywhere? Because they see God on you. They see God in you. You are emanating the presence of God as you walk down the street. Now we pour the Holy Ghost into our life, and now not only are they seeing God, but now they're going to experience the empowering experience of the Holy Ghost in our life. So now when they walk up to us, they can see God on us, but when they start talking to us, they're going to feel the Holy Ghost through us. And how great would that be? Instantly, there's opportunity for miracles. Instantly, there's opportunity for salvation. Instantly, there's opportunity for God to do something wonderful in our lives, through our lives, for people that we encounter. Because we have the Holy Ghost in our life. We need the Holy Ghost in our experience. So many Christian experiences are flat. But the Holy Ghost in our experience gives it the dynamics to make it a functional, victorious Christian experience. We need the dynamic power of God in our life. The goal of this lesson is found in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Getting to a point in our experience that sin does not trip us up any longer. Oh, now, Brother Kevin, hang on a second here. There's a doctrine going through the Christian churches today, worldwide, that you can't go through the day without sinning. That's hogwash. That's nonsense. You do not have to sin in your Christian experience. You can get up in the morning. You can go throughout your day. You can lay your head on your pillow at night and still be a victorious Christian. Anybody that tells you you're going to sin, you just put it right. That's why you need the Holy Ghost in your life, to prove them wrong, to show them that you can have that victorious Christian life. Now, I got a lot of ground to cover tonight, not a whole lot, so babe, you keep me on track, okay? All right. The keys to a victorious Christian life, just laying a real quick foundation. The unique thing about the Christian life is that unlike other dead gods, Jesus led us by example. If we model our Christian life after Jesus' example, we would live far above the reaches of the devil. And we were talking about that a while ago. If we would just take our life and walk and talk and act and pray and think and just do what Jesus done. Just do it the way God done it. They've got this little thing that goes on. What's it called? WWJD. What would Jesus do? I like it. I don't like all the jewelry that goes with it and all of the other stuff. It's a marketing thing. But what would Jesus do? What would Jesus... Oh, look at that mountain. Whoa, what a mountain. Oh, no, what are we going to do? You make it over this mountain. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You know what He'd do? He'd speak to that mountain. He'd speak to it. And do you know what would happen? It would move out of the way. And you know how? Through the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. And you know, we can do that ourselves. He told us, speak to that mountain and it'll be cast into the sea. And it's through the power of the Holy Ghost. We need faith in our life. Faith to believe that we can do it the way Jesus taught us to do it. We need that in our life. In this lesson, we'll begin to expose the four main keys to maintaining a victorious Christian life. And each week after, we'll explore each key in more depth. These keys are found in Romans chapter 6. Let's read in Romans chapter 6 this evening. Everybody, it's Romans chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then we're going to read in verse 1. Are y'all there? You ready to go? Okay. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And everybody said, God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What a wonderful promise. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. I like that. I like that. You know what that's telling us? That we should live our lives unto God. Just like Jesus lived his life unto God, we need to live everything we do it as an offering unto God. Every breath we take, we breathe it unto God. Every step we take it unto God. Oh, Brother Kevin, that's so radical. That's so far out. No, it's not. That's victorious Christian living. And if we do it unto God, then you know what? The devil can't do anything about it. He can't touch one of God's. He can't mess with an offering given to God. The devil has a wall built around him when we live our life unto God. Likewise, verse 11, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Catch that? You're going to serve who you're going to serve. It's your choice in life. You can either serve the devil unto death. You can do unrighteous things. You can allow your body. You can allow your mind. You can allow your spirit to go out and just run rampant in this world. Partake of all the nasty filthiness of this world. Or you can make a conscious choice in your Christian experience and you can live your life unto God in a righteous manner, in a holy manner, full of the Holy Ghost, moving and working through, in, and with God. You can have a Christian experience like that. We need God at work in our life. We need the Holy Ghost in our life. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to be seeking God. You need to be seeking for the infilling. You need God moving in your life. You need the Holy Ghost at work. You need the dynamics of the Holy Ghost fulfilling His will in your life. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We talked on Monday night about churches worldwide. They've almost, Pentecostal churches have almost given up preaching and teaching about the Holy Ghost. It's almost a lost thing in our churches today. We need the Holy Ghost in our lives. We need the Holy Ghost in our church services. We need the Holy Ghost in our families. We need the Holy Ghost in our workplaces. We need the Holy Ghost in our schools. We need the Holy Ghost, church. We need Him dynamically at work in the world today. And He is here. He is ready to do what He needs to do. He just needs some willing vessels. We need the Holy Ghost. But God be thanked, verse 17, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Unto holiness. That is such a wonderful statement. Yield your body. Yield your spirit. Yield your mind unto righteousness. To do righteous things. And when that happens in your life, when you're doing righteous things in your life, you're going to experience true holiness in your life. True holiness in your life. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful chapter. What a wonderful chapter. They call that the chapter of challenge. The chapter of challenge. If you're having a hard time in your experience right now, read Romans chapter 6. Study it out. Contemplate it. Meditate on it. And once you've read it, go straight to your prayer closet and pray about it. Because Paul, when he was writing this, he was writing unto a group of people that was struggling with the idea of how they should live their Christian life. They were struggling with the boundaries that they should have in their Christian experience. They were struggling with the idea of what does it mean to be a Christian? And Romans chapter 6 deals with those questions. It deals 2,000 plus years ago with the people that were having those problems, and it deals with it today. The same problems, the same kind of people. We need to know how to live our Christian experience. We need to know how. And in Romans chapter 6, we see four keys. Romans 6 is often considered the chapter of challenge. If you want to get out of your rut, read chapter 6. If you need a good swift kick in the pants, spiritually speaking, read Romans chapter 6. I've been there. I've needed that. I needed someone to get me back on the straight and narrow. And God come along and done the fatherly thing. He'll do it if you'll allow Him to. Read Romans chapter 6. It starts out asking you what you want to do and ends up giving you loving advice. But it asks you, what do you want to do? Do you want to be a Christian or do you want to continue in sin? And one of the things that we've been talking about at length in Bible studies is the fact that we as Christians have a conscious choice to make in our life. On a daily basis, we have to make a choice to either live for Christ or to do what the devil's asking us to do. And in Romans chapter 6, it starts out asking, what are you going to do? Because Paul is telling them, if you're going to continue in sin, then so be it. Continue in sin. I can't do anything about that. But if you're going to live a Christian life, then live it victoriously. Live it in righteousness. Live it in holiness. Live it to the fullest extent possible in your Christian experience. In other words, if you're going to do something, do it right. The Bible teaches us that your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. No reason to live a lackluster Christian life. No reason to live on the fence. It's completely unprofitable. And the Bible teaches us that it's not possible. You can't live there. If you try to live on the fence, you're going to fall. And when you fall, it's going to be the wrong way. And it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. We need to live that victorious Christian life. In this chapter, we find four keys that can be used to build a victorious Christian life. And each of our lives, following these keys, will result in a life prepared for the presence and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Not using these keys will result in a life that is locked in a vicious cycle of failure and disappointment. I've been there. Come down here, you get prayed through, get up, and boom, failure all over again. Come down here and get that prayed through, get up, boom, failure all over again. We don't have to live like that, church. We don't have to have an experience like that. Jesus wants us to be victorious in all that we do. Key number one is knowledge. We're going to talk a little bit about knowledge tonight. Key number two is reckon. We need to consider Christ in our life. What does it mean to have Jesus at work in our life? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Consider the changes. Consider the opportunities. Consider what it means now to be a victorious Christian. We need to reckon with the fact that we now have Christ in our life. The other thing that we have to reckon with is our past. So many people, and we talked about this, this is repeat for some of us, at Bible study Monday night, but some of us have never dealt with our past. We carry a baggage of old sin on our shoulder that we never got prayed through, that we were never able to lay down. And every morning when we get up in our Christian experience, we drag them skeletons around with us because we've never reckoned with our past. We've never dealt with those skeletons. When we get down and we pray through over the things that we've done in the last 3 weeks or the last month, and now we're saved, gloriously saved. But we have to deal with those things in the past. The devil will take those and continue to use those things against you. How can you be a good Christian when you've done that? How can you be a good Christian? And he'll pull that skeleton out there and say, remember this? God can't use anyone that's got this in their past. He'll pull another skeleton out. God doesn't want a fellowship with someone who's done this in their past. And we've got to deal with our past. And in the coming weeks, we're going to reckon with our past. It's a key to a victorious Christian. Why? Because we can't carry baggage with us. We need to carry God in our lives. That's why we need to throw wide the doors and empty our lives, completely broken and poured out before Him. We need to give it all to Him. We need to stop. Some of us have carried luggage around like this, baggage around for years and years and years and years. And we've never dealt with that baggage in our life. We need to stop and we need to pull each one out of the bag. Lord, you know this happened 30 years ago, God, and I'm so sorry. I was a sinner then, God, and I didn't know any better. But God, I repent now for carrying this around with me. And when you let go of that, that skeleton's going to disappear forever. And you know, God doesn't remember that stuff. You already repented. He already washed your life. He doesn't remember it. But because it's in your mind and because it's been in your heart, the devil will pull that up and use it against you. And because we're just humans, we end up listening, don't we? We need to reckon with our past. The third key is yield. We need to yield our lives to God. We need to give it to God completely. And the fourth key is to obey. Oh my. One of the hardest things in life. And I told him Monday night, you know, we'll obey someone until the day we die. We will obey someone till the day we die. We'll obey our wives. We'll obey our mothers. We'll obey our bosses. We'll obey the laws. Grandma. We'll obey someone till the day we die. And that's just the way it is. We've all got to learn how to obey God. God. When the Holy Spirit comes and knocks on our door, here I am, Lord. Use me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Note, in this chapter of challenge, Paul is writing, when can we see a level of progression? Paul is writing when we can see a level of progression in the use of these keys. First, we must know what, where, when, how, etc. Then we must consider all the things, using this knowledge. After that, we find it easier to yield ourselves, and then we find the ability to obey. So there's a level of progression that we have to go through here. We need to understand what we're doing. We need to understand why we're doing it. We need to understand how we're going to do it. And this is not a long, drawn-out thing. This isn't like going back to kindergarten again and waiting to graduate in 12th grade. This is something that God can do in your life instantaneously. He can give you the knowledge to understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, where you're doing it, and how you're doing it. He can do that for you instantaneously. It's not a long, drawn-out thing. But we need to understand this stuff before we can properly yield our lives to Him, before we can truly obey Him. Why? Because if we don't understand it, there will always be an apprehension. He'll ask us to take that step. Okay, God, but why? Why? Where am I going? What am I doing? But when we get the knowledge of God in our life, and He asked us to take that step, we'll have the trust in Him to know that He's not going to steer us wrong. We'll have the faith in Him to obey immediately. That's why it's so important to have this knowledge in our life. Some have tried to circumvent Christ's plan and find that this flawed approach leads to failure. Part of having a victorious Christian life is learning how to live that life Christ's way. Through Christ, in Christ, and for Christ. Nothing else will ever be acceptable. Nothing else. Talk about knowledge. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Knowledge is the very base of all human operations. Without it, the simplest tasks would be difficult, or the simplest inventions would not exist. We need knowledge. Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Know ye not? Know ye not? So many of us in the Christian church today don't know. We don't know. Why don't we know? Because we came into the church house, we knelt down at the altar, we prayed through, and when we stood up, we started listening to everybody else instead of talking to God, instead of reading our Bibles, instead of getting in and finding out for ourselves, we listened to what other people had to tell us about how we should live our Christian life. That's why we have people in churches today coming to church in shorts, coming to church just when they want to, coming to church any way they want to, bringing whatever they want to into the church. We can't live our Christian experience like that. We've got to have the knowledge of God at work in our life. We've got to have it at work in our life. Some Christians strive their entire lives to gain worldly knowledge, but never attempt to find godly knowledge. We clutter our entire life up with degrees. Master degrees in this and bachelor's degrees in that. We become professional students in the world. But we never apply our spiritual life to growing in God. We never try to obtain that godly knowledge. Because of this, we find ourselves in situations where we simply do not understand what God wants from us. That's why we find ourselves in the middle of a Holy Ghost-filled service. And the Holy Ghost comes on us and says, Kevin, go and pray for that person. God, is that you? God, is that you? Well, God, if that's you, slap me upside the head 3 times. God, if that's you, kick me out of the pew and let me land right in front of the person. And we mean it literally. Why? Because we don't understand the things of God. We haven't studied out what God wants to do in our lives. We should be at a point. Sister Blankenhorn's reading a book about Smith Wigglesworth. And every time I see her, she tells me all about the great things that Smith Wigglesworth has done. He found out what God was all about. And a man would walk down the street and God would say, Smith, turn left. Well, he didn't stop and say, wait a second, God, I'm going to the store over here, straight ahead. Well, turn left. He didn't think about it. Boom, man. I mean, he just turned left. Why? Because he understood what God was about. He understood what God wanted to do. He understood that God needed him. We are God's hands extended. And without him today at work in our lives, we cannot accomplish that Christian work that he wants us to do. We must have a working knowledge of what God wants for us and from us. The little Sunday school song says, read your Bible and pray every day. And you'll what? Grow, grow, grow. Grow, grow, grow. Grow, grow, grow. You know what the grow translates into? Read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll lay your hands on the sick and see him healed. And you'll testify to the sinners and see them saved. And you'll reach out to the lost community and you'll see them come in. And you'll have a desire to serve me more and more and more every day. That's what growing in God is. That's what reading your Bible accomplishes in your life. That's what spending time in prayer accomplishes in your life. A closer, more personal experience with God. But you know, for some of us, that's what we fear the most, is that close, personal experience with God. We want to approach God on business terms. A 9-to-5 schedule. On our terms. Okay, God, I'll serve you, but this is the way it's going to be. You know what God does right then? He just walks away. You're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. So many of us want to serve God on our terms. Okay, God, if this is really you, slap me upside the head 3 times. You know, I'm not opposed to fleeces. I'm not opposed to fleeces at all. But we should have a Christian experience with God in such a manner that we can hear the voice of God telling us the answer, that we can see the power of God giving us the answer, that we can feel the unction of the Holy Ghost in our life moving in such a way that we understand what that answer is. We don't need fleeces before God. If we're filled with the Holy Ghost and living a victorious Christian life, God will tell us, show us, and move in us the way he wants us to direct our lives. It says, I believe my little Heather can live this Christian life as well as God wants her to. And she'll do it instantly because she's got that childlike faith. Jesus will come on her life and just, Heather, do this, okay? Because she hasn't been polluted yet by the world's fashions, by the world's influences. By the world's give me, take, take. But as we get older, we realize that when God moves in our lives, when God touches our hearts, that it might mean we have to let go of something. Might mean that we have to give up something. It might mean that we have to trust God for something. That's the hardest thing for some of us, isn't it? Just to let go and let God. Just to let go and let God. I was telling someone earlier, I'm a big old boy. I'm a big, strong guy. And you know, God's blessed me in a manner I can do just about anything I put my hand to. It's hard for me to just let go. I want to fix it. Just give me a chance. God, I can take care of this. And then when I break it a little bit more, I turn around and say, okay, God, you know, I should have trusted you first. That's flawed thinking. That's horrible thinking. We need to get our life to a point where that problem doesn't even touch us. There's a what? No, ain't no problem. Here, God. Here you go, right here. Don't even let it touch you. Don't even let it get on you. Just let God take care of it. And when we start living our life like that, what victory are we going to have in our life? We'll be able to walk around smiling, just having a wonderful time in God. They were singing a while ago about getting on those streets of gold, about seeing Jesus. We can have some of that right here if we would live that victorious Christian life. We lay out unnecessary rules and we chain ourselves to unnecessary instruments that do nothing to achieve godliness. We don't need to heap up a bunch of nonsense before us. Informed tradition, a form of godliness, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to call it. We don't need to be doing things to try and achieve God's a special favor in His eyes. We just need to live the way God told us to live. We need to do life the way God told us to do life. We need to lead or live our life by the example that Jesus led us by. We just need to do that. We don't have to worry about doing all this other stuff. Well, three hairs has got to be this way, one hair back that way, and four hairs over this way. I'm lost right there. I don't have enough hair to do that. So I can't be a Christian now. But people, they want to tie so much of human carnality to try and be a Christian. And you don't have to do that. Just follow the example that Jesus left for us. How do we obtain this knowledge? As imperative as it is for us to have this knowledge of God and His will, obtaining it has eluded Christians for many years. Proverbs speaks to the proper method of obtaining the knowledge of God. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." We must read His word. This is what Proverbs 1 through 5 is saying. We must read His word, keep His law, listen to those who walk the right path, apply ourselves to His understanding with all our heart, and if we do this, we will find the knowledge of God. That's not so difficult. Do you see how easy that is? It's not hard to follow God. It's not hard to live a Christian life given to God. The Bible teaches us what? That His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. We make it hard on ourselves. And church, we need to get away from what we think we need to do to be a good Christian. And we need to start doing what God has told us to do to be a good Christian. And what is that? To get an understanding. To deal with the things in our life that we need to deal with. To yield our life to Him and to obey what He asks us to do. It's that simple. Read His word, keep His commandments, follow after the good people, and you will find the knowledge of God. We must read His word, keep His commandments, listen to those who walk the right paths, apply ourselves to His understanding, and this will help us find the knowledge of God. In other words, we must apply ourselves as true Christians. We must read our Bible and pray every day. Isn't it amazing? A wonderful proverb. And it all comes down to read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow. It's just that simple. Church, we can live a victorious Christian life. Why obtain this knowledge? When we grow in knowledge, it becomes easier to live the life that God has for us. In growing in the knowledge of God, we acquire a better understanding of the life we used to live in sin, and therefore understand that continued death to sin is imperative. We have to crucify the flesh daily. Daily. Not just the sin of the past, but all sin. Past, present, and future. God, forgive me for anything that I done that I don't even know I done. God, please forgive me of that. God, forgive me of this sin that I just now committed. And God, please help me not to sin anymore. We need to understand that sin cannot dwell in our life. Remember, our goal in understanding the keys to a victorious Christian life found in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. We're destroying it. If you destroy it, you can't put it back together. If you destroy it, you can't have it back. You've got to get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your sight. Stop thinking about it. Stop dwelling on it. Stop keeping it in little parts of your life. I told them on Monday, I know it's getting late. I told them on Monday, one of the hardest things for me, young people, was music. Don't get it in your life. Sister Cole done such a wonderful job talking about it when she was up here on Sunday. Don't let it in your life. Don't let it in your house. Don't let it in your car. Get it out of your life. You don't need nasty secular music in your life. You don't need it. It was so hard for me. I'd get down and I'd pray through and I would get up with a desire to serve God. God, I'm going to make it for you this time. No more going back, God. And I'd get in the car and I'd hit the radio. Want to listen to the traffic or something. And I didn't reprogram the radio stations, the presets. And I turn that radio on and there's that old song. Oh, I just like that old song, you know. Well, it's almost over. Traffic could be on after this. Just sit there and listen to it. Tapping the steering wheel. Let it in. I let it back in. Got out of the car. The next time I get in the car, the radio be on and it'd still be on that preset channel because I didn't shut it off. Oh, man, there's that other song. I just love that song so much. Well, it won't hurt to listen to this song. It won't hurt to let this little fox in. It won't hurt to let this little one in. And before I realized it, I was listening to the music all the time and I wasn't reading my Bible and praying every day. Don't let it in your life. Parents, don't let it in your house. Don't let it in your car. Keep it away. You don't need it. Young people, I'm standing here telling you tonight, the voice of experience, it will grab your heart and it will twist you in ways that you cannot imagine. And it will warp your life if you let it. Sin will destroy us and we need to get it out of our life. We need to get it out of our thought processes. We need to get it out of our homes. We need to get it out of our bedrooms. We need to get it off our radios. We need to get rid of it. We need it away. Why can't I live a victorious life? Why am I always slipping up? Why do I always feel so guilty when they preach? Because you're keeping that sin in your life. You've got to open up the doors and clean out every corner of our life. It said that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Don't serve sin. The expectation is that we will realize what caused us to sin in the past and make that conscious choice not to do it again, based on the knowledge that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. One little sin will kill your Christian experience. Oh, now, Brother Kevin, one little sin will keep you out of heaven. Oh, now, Brother Kevin, I said one little sin One little white lie, one little hateful, bitter thought, one little wrong song will put your soul in hell for eternity. We need to live a victorious Christian life. We need to live that victorious Christian life as she comes tonight. Daniel, verse 1, 17 says, God gave this knowledge. We need this knowledge to understand the working of God in our life, to relate to the will of God and to apply the Word of God. It is imperative that we work at obtaining this godly knowledge. Without it, we will fall for the tricks of the devil and will fall short of the fullness of God's great promises for us. In our pursuit of the Holy Ghost, I said in our pursuit of the Holy Ghost, church, we need to be running after the Holy Ghost. Church, we need to be pursuing. Get in your mind, get in your imagination what I'm talking about here. If the Holy Ghost is not in your life, if you're not saturated 110% with the Holy Ghost in your life, you need to be in pursuit of that individual portion in your Christian experience. You need to be pursuing the Holy Ghost. You need to be chasing it with every fiber of your being, and you can't stop until you catch that in your Christian experience. I need the Holy Ghost in my life. I need God in my life. And we can't live this life if we don't leave it victoriously. As she plays this evening, let's all stand across the building. What a wonderful thing to be able to reach out to our living God in full knowledge of how great He truly is. To be able to worship and serve Him with understanding of what we're doing instead of roaming hopelessly in formality and empty actions. We've got a great God. I said our God loves us tonight, church. And it's up to us to pursue Him. He came to us and He created and prepared a way for us to live a godly life before Him. To serve Him in a victorious way. And church, tonight, it's imperative. It's imperative, church, that we have a knowledge of God in our life. Tonight, I'm going to open this altar. And I want us all to pray for just a little bit. I know it's getting late, and I apologize for going so long. But I want us to pray, God, give me that knowledge. God, I'm so tired of falling short. God, I'm so tired of slipping up. God, I'm so tired of making those mistakes. Give me the knowledge I need, God, to combat the devil, to stand against the devil, to be a victorious Christian. Let's all pray tonight, church. We need to spend time in our experience. Come on, let's come tonight and spend a little time with God. We need to spend some time in our